Well, you know what?
All right.
They can take care of you.
It better be.
You don't know that may happen.
Yes, you don't know.
Well, praise the Lord.
Died from cancer.
Oh.
Let's
and
6 years older than him.
Oh wow.
And of course, while I was up in Maine, I was able to hand out several tracks.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing.
And you had them right on the table.
Yeah. Oh no, not just in the funeral home, but I was
right elsewhere.
Because Alex and I stayed up there a couple of nights, so we were able to hand out some more tracks and
nice planting seeds.
Blessing
too, yeah. Planting seeds.
Anywhere, God was good. God is good.
Amen. Being used. 270, people. Let's stand. Hymn number 270 for our final hymn tonight. How many of you knows that Jesus saves? You know that. That's why you're in his house tonight.
Amen.
Because he has saved you personally. And it's amazing. Before I got saved, I didn't want anything to do with Christians. I didn't want to be around them. But when I got saved, I want to be with other saved people.
Yes, amen?
Amen. Yes. Isn't it funny how that works? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you wants to fellowship with other believers who have the Holy Spirit in them.
Yes. But you want to know something, if you're with unsaved people, your spirit and their spirit just aren't.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they have another spirit.
Really
yeah. Oh yeah.
Last job, there. You hear GD and the
yeah. Oh, yeah. Spirit of Antichrist.
I said, you keep saying that, you're going to hell.
Yep. You know, I always say, they take the Lord's name in vain. I said, God bless you. I say, I didn't sneeze, and I say, no, but you're going to need blessings where you're going. You know.
Yeah.
Keep taking the Lord's name in vain, buddy.
Yeah, because you become the enemy of God when you do that. I believe it's
exactly. Absolutely. First, second, and fourth, people. Yeah. We have heard the joyful sound.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Bear the news.
To sinners far and wide,
Jesus saves,
Jesus saves.
Sing ye islands of the sea,
echo back ye ocean waves.
Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves,
Jesus saves. Give the wind a mighty voice. Oh, great singing on Sunday evening service, folks. Please be seated. And let's grab our Bibles at this time. We'll get right to our Sunday evening message. And as you're opening up to Luke's Gospel tonight, we're back in our series, of course. It would be Luke chapter 23, by the way. We're back in our series on the place of the dead. What happens to one after they take their final breath? Well, we're in week number 10 concerning this topic, the place of the dead. And tonight, we come to our 11th biblical term used to describe the unseen world. And that term is paradise. Paradise. We haven't looked at this one yet. We're working on our final four terms. And they're all, I'll give you a hint, they're all good. I gave the bad news first, the first nine terms. But the last four terms, there's 13 altogether. The last four are wonderful. Last week, we learned on our ninth term was what? What was last week's? Begins with an A. A-B? Abraham's bosom. Thank you. And tonight we come to paradise. Now, for years I took for granted that Abraham's bosom and paradise were one and the same. And they are in a sense, and they're not in a sense. And I'm going to show you the distinguishment tonight concerning that from the scripture. Now, this term, paradise, the Greek word for paradise and its Hebrew counterpart, its Hebrew equivalent, both mean a glorious garden, a royal park. It's a beautiful place. Now, this term appears just three times in the Bible. Okay? First, go with me to Luke chapter 23. We'll look at our occurrences, and then we'll look at our deductions. In Luke chapter 23, look with me at verse number 42. Verse 42, Jesus, of course, is on the cross. You know that. And he's being crucified for our sins. And he said, this is the thief on the right side. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me, where?
In paradise.
In paradise. He didn't say Abraham's bosom, though that's what he meant, and there's a reason for it. We're going to look at that. Now he says here that the thief on the cross that believed on him as Messiah would go with him to Messiah. Where did the other thief on the cross go? He went to hell. He went to hell because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He was that close to making heaven his home, and he failed forever. I know, how foolish. But yet, how many people in the world make the same mistake? They're so close to salvation. And Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 49, David says, they die and the salvation of their soul ceaseth forever. It means they can never be saved after death. Wow, horrifying. But here, Jesus makes reference to a place called paradise. Now, in this passage, Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus Christ makes it clear to the thief that at the time of his crucifixion, paradise was in Sheol / Hades, the underworld. And it was equivalent to Abraham's bosom at that time. Okay? We'll come back to that point in a few minutes. But secondly, go with me to 2 Corinthians. Promise to have you out of here top of the hour. I didn't say which hour. 2 Corinthians. And go with me to chapter number 12. I love the whole book of 2 Corinthians. It's all so good. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, something amazing takes place in the life of the Apostle Paul. And he rehearses it by the Holy Spirit for you and I. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me at verse 1. Paul writes, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. He says, it's not profitable for me to boast or to brag. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Yeah, like more than any other man in history. Writing 14 books of the New Testament. Oh, yeah. I knew a man. Paul is so humble, he won't name himself. So he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up, harpazo, raptured, to the third heaven. Now, notice here, in verse 2, Paul had an outer body experience, for real. And he went somewhere, the third heaven. Watch what he says. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into what?
There it is. Again. There's only one problem, folks. He said, I went up to paradise. Jesus brought the thief down to paradise. We're going to get to that. Hang on. We're building a case here. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself, I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Wow. Paul said, I got to see paradise and live to tell it. He said, it's so glorious, I can't even put it in words, boys. You wouldn't believe the description I could give. But he says, it's not even lawful for me to talk about it. Why? Because we're going there, and the Lord doesn't want to reveal too much just yet. We wouldn't be able to handle it. But here, listen carefully. The Bible makes it clear, through Paul's pen, that after the resurrection of Christ, and in Paul's day, paradise had changed its geographical location to heaven. As Paul makes it clear that one must go up to get to paradise now, in this dispensation of the church age. Okay, you see that? It was in Abraham's bosom. It's now in heaven. But thirdly, go with me to Revelation. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. You know Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that the Apostle John in the Apocalypse is speaking to the seven churches of the church age, right? And he's speaking future tense of what they would enjoy one day in glory above. Watch what he says. In Revelation chapter number 2, don't miss this, Revelation 2, verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, time out, church, how do you overcome in this dispensation? By, it begins with an F.
Faith.
That's it. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay? So he's saying, he that has believing faith, saving faith, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It's in the midst of the paradise of God. Here we have a third occurrence of this word. And the Apostle John tells us here that paradise is now in the midst, the tree of life is in that paradise. We know that it's not on earth anymore. It's not under the earth anymore. Paul said he had to go up to get there, and John says that the tree of life is in it, wherever it is. Now, listen carefully. Here, in chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible speaks of the future concerning paradise. We've had the past, Luke 23, 43, down in Abraham's bosom. We have the present by Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 4. It's in the third heaven. Now we have the future of paradise. Don't you love how the Bible works? It gives you the different pictures and when you need to see them. He gives us the future. Jesus clearly states here that at some point in time after the church age, certain individuals will be eating of the tree of life, which will then be in paradise. Go with me to Ezekiel 47. I want to show you something amazing. Now, Ezekiel 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48... are all concerning what kingdom? Think. Prophetically, all nine chapters speak of the millennial kingdom. That's right. The millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. It's graphic description of the millennial kingdom. We have blueprints, literally, that we can draw it out. Measurements to the cubit. I mean, exact measurements of the kingdom, the temple, the outer court, everything here in these chapters of Ezekiel. And watch what he says. Time context is what? The millennium. In Ezekiel chapter 47, look with me at verse number 12. And by the river, this is that living water of life coming out of the threshold of the throne of God during the millennium. Those living waters that heal everything they touch. Watch that one. By that river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, their living waters. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. No more doctors. No more pharmacies. No more prescription drugs. Jesus is going to provide healing for anyone who has human bodies. We won't. We'll have glorified bodies for the millennium. Indestructible. But there will be people being born, and they'll need medicine. Okay? Now here, we have the tree of life mentioned during the millennium. And it overshadows the millennial river, which comes out of the throne of God. See that? So we see that in the future, people will be eating of the... And what will we have? It's speaking of Israel. Israel will become paradise on earth during the millennium. You see it? All this is incredible stuff. So we have here, go to Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. We're right on schedule. We're going to be out of here. Top of the hour. In Revelation in Revelation 22, we have it mentioned again. And this is yet future from the millennium. This will be its fourth relocation. God likes to relocate, amen? But once he relocates permanently, it's set for eternity. I like that. Look with me in Revelation chapter 22. Don't miss this. Verse 1. John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Now, folks, time out. This is not the millennial river. That's gone. That's gone in chapter 22. This is the heavenly river, the eternal one, okay? Watch what he says. Though it sounds very similar to the one in Ezekiel 47, they're not the same. You've got to be a dispensationalist to rightly understand this. Verse 2, "In the midst of the street of it," that street of gold, "and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Not for you. You don't need those tree fruit and leaves. You have an indestructible, eternal body at this point. But somebody does. Now, here we have the last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. What do we find but the tree of life, the river of life, the throne of God? It's paradise. So we see here, fourthly, she was in Abraham's bosom. She is presently in the third heaven. She will be in the millennium. And finally, she will be in the new heaven and the new earth forever. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, I love it. I love it because we will enjoy that forevermore. Now, from these biblical passages, beloved, three deductions must be made concerning paradise. First, that paradise is a term used in the Bible to describe the abode of the righteous. Okay? Listen. It's used to describe the abode of the righteous no matter where that abode may be at any point in time and no matter which dispensation we may be in. Paradise is always the abode of the righteous. Okay? It's the abode. It's where they abide after death, okay? No matter where it might be, it's our abode. And it will ultimately be our eternal abode, heaven itself. Now, secondly, another deduction we must make concerning paradise. That since the ascension and glorification of the Son of God 2,000 years ago, paradise has been located in the third heaven, okay? Where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, being the abode of all of the righteous now. After death. The righteous, when you die, beloved, you don't go down, you go up. In the Old Testament, they had to go down to go to Abraham's bosom, which was paradise, but now you go to paradise in heaven, where it now is stationed. Thirdly, we must deduce that paradise will change its location one final time when it is transferred to the New Jerusalem, okay, which will be located on the new earth. Remember in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and John says, "And I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God." You see, remember that? Those are eternal. Those will never be destroyed. Those will never dissolve, okay? Those are eternal. Now, let me repeat. The third deduction we must make is that paradise will change its location one final time. When it is transferred to the New Jerusalem, which will be located on the new earth, and this will be after the thousand-year millennial kingdom expires, when the new heaven and the new earth will be created. Now, paradise with the tree of life and the river of life will only be needed on the new earth, not in the new heaven. Why? Think with me. It's because all of the body of Christ, the bride, the church, will have eternally glorified bodies in the new heaven. We don't need meat, we don't need fruit, we don't need leaves. But we can eat. We can enjoy eating with each other if we want to. It won't hurt us any. But we don't have to. We'll be eternal. Yes?
Chapter 22, verse 8. To me, this is confusing. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things."
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, because that's not Christ they're talking about.
Yep.
So my footnotes say it could be the prophet Daniel. But, you know.
Oh, no. No, this is an angel that's giving John the book of Revelation. And John was so overwhelmed with the glory of the truths he was giving him that he fell down to worship. But look at verse 9. "Then saith he, the angel, unto me, See thou do it not." No true elect holy angel will allow any human being to worship him. The fallen angels, they demand it. And they do favors for human beings. It's called witchcraft and sorcery and Satanism. You know that. But look what he says. "Then saith the enemy, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant." That's what the angels are. "And of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. Now, John had a lapse of faith here. And it was a big one. And the angel said, "Don't do that, John. Ever." So, that's a good question. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's totally out of bounds. Yeah, absolutely. Now, back to our point here on the third deduction is that this paradise with the tree of life and with the river of life flowing out of the eternal throne of God will only be needed on the new earth, not the new heaven. And that is because all of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, will all have eternally glorified bodies in the new heaven. So, to summarize tonight, from Adam to the cross, paradise was in Abraham's bosom, okay? From the cross to the end of the millennium, paradise will be in the third heaven. Then after the millennium, and for all of eternity future, paradise will be in the new Jerusalem on the new earth, which will last forever. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these glorious truths concerning that unseen place called paradise. Lord, I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul got a glimpse of it. You allowed him, Lord, to see a bit of the paradise of heaven so that he could tell us how glorious it is, how wonderful our future is going to be. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. And Lord, studying these truths will keep us filled with the Spirit of God and the joy and peace of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need in these last days, Lord. The devil is fighting. He's looking for any little inlet to try to disrupt the peace that you give. But Lord, as we focus on your word and these truths and Jesus Christ, our Savior, we cannot fail. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. And we thank you ahead of time for the victories you're going to bring to the church this week. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. For a closing
hymn tonight. Let's go to 75. We'll stand. And we were talking this morning about modifying our altar for invitations. We're going to get some nice thick carpeting that will really, really help for that. I felt bad for months, people kneeling on the hard floor like that, but we're going to do something about it. Lord's got a plan. Holy Spirit just puts these little tidbits of thoughts in my mind.
We aren't worth a carpet.
It didn't bother me.
We won't need it when we have glorified bodies. Well, you're tough, you know. Yes. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And just the time I need him, he's always there.
Amen!
He lives, he lives, and Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my stair away. He lives, he lives, salvation's good. I see that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my several ways. Great singing today, folks. Brother Mark, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget to mention, thank the Lord for those precious souls that were saved at the funeral service this week.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being together this evening and also today. And bless you, Jesus, for all those souls, the 8 souls that were saved at the funeral Thursday, and for all of and for Tommy, he's resting in peace. He's ascending to heaven. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord, people.